Parents of young children know a thing or two about clownfish. These adorable orange and white striped fish rocketed to stardom in the animated classic Finding Nemo, which featured an adventurous clownfish hero. Clownfish popularity, however, extends far beyond the preschool set. The movie led to an upswing in their capture for the exotic pet trade, and they're now one of the most popular saltwater aquarium fish. That was the downside of the Nemo effect. The upside? More people became interested in coral reef conservation. It's an ecosystem of tremendous importance, fragility, and interdependence, and clownfish are an indicator species for the health of reefs. They're also truly fascinating creatures. When Nemo's dad, Marlin, names all of the eggs Marlin Jr., the movie makers got the science right. All clownfish are indeed born male. Many fish species are able to change sex, almost always from female to male. But the clownfish is different, changing gender only to become the dominant female of the group, and that change is irreversible. In a clownfish group living in an anemone, the largest fish is female and the second largest a male, and they're the mating pair. But the adventure story of Nemo's dad traveling far and wide to find his son? Unscientific. In the wild, clownfish never venture far from their anemone, its home and pantry. It's this interdependence that has earned the fish their full name, the anemone clownfish. The relationship between anemones and an anemone clownfish is a classic oceanic partnership of mutualism. In science, mutualism is defined as a relationship between two species in which both benefit from the association. In fact, clownfish and anemones probably couldn't live without each other, which qualifies them as obligate symbionts. They couldn't be more different, yet they need each other to survive. The clownfish is a vertebrate, while a sea anemone is an invertebrate, closely related to corals and jellyfish. And like them, its sting is deadly to most other creatures. So how does the clownfish manage to live among the anemone's lethal tentacles? Well, very cautiously. As the clownfish gets to know its anemone, it does an elaborate ballet of tentative darting movements, touching the anemone's stinging tentacles gently, working up immunity and a protective layer of mucus. Once they've acclimated to each other, they eat each other's food scraps. The anemone's tentacles provide the clownfish with protection from predators. The clownfish, in turn, protects the anemone from predators like the butterfly fish and nibbles the anemone free of parasites. Cozy, right? But scientists have recently discovered there's additional complexity to the relationship. The anemone benefits from the clownfish's ammonia-rich waste. It's like anemone fertilizer. It helps the animal grow. After all, a bigger anemone is better for both. Its larger tentacles can snare larger, more nutritious prey, and the clownfish gets better leftovers and more spacious living quarters. There's also a fascinating nocturnal half to the anemone clownfish routine. Scientists used to think that at night the clownfish snuggled quietly inside the anemone's tentacles. But Dr. Nanette Chadwick and her team at Auburn University recently discovered that the clownfish moves around more than was suspected, reminiscent of a dog trying to get comfortable on his bed. The clownfish's movements oxygenate the water deep within the anemone's tangle of tentacles. In effect, the clownfish helps the anemone breathe. Clownfish and anemones literally cannot live without one another. In the sea, as in Hollywood, they call that real chemistry. To learn more about the anemone and the clownfish, and to see them in action on the aquarium's Pacific Coral Reef webcam, visit aqua.org/ablueview. This is John Racanelli of the National Aquarium for WYPR, your NPR news station.